Man Up, brought to you by Construction Professionals, a program dedicated to inspiring and helping men live lives of heroic virtue. Join Joe Stopulis every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. And now, it's time to Man Up.
Man Up, also underwritten by McDonald Imaging Solutions.
Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. We are broadcasting from the Mercy One studio, heard on 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM. Around the globe, streaming online at iowacatholicradio.com. Also, please like our show on Facebook, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I am Joe Stopulis. Today, I'm really excited to be joined by Father PJ McManus from the Diocese of Des Moines here to discuss the book of Joshua, the book of Judges, and hopefully the book of Ruth, all in one episode. Let's start in prayer. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and the snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. May the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A lot to cover today, and no one better to do it than Father PJ. For those of you who know Father PJ, we could probably do 10 episodes on one book of the Bible with him. The guy's a fountain of knowledge. Really excited to have him on the other side to cover, as I mentioned, Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. We have a lot to cover. The book of Joshua, the entrance into the Promised Land. You know, we just got out of Deuteronomy with Moses, and now Joshua will bring us into the Promised Land. And then we have the book of Judges, and that'll lead us into the book of Samuel. But really, this time period we're talking about is 1400 BC, 1406 to 1050 BC. So we're at about 400 years we're going to cover here, all through the life of first Joshua. And then there's 12 different judges. We will probably be able to cover one of them today. But really excited to have Father PJ McManus with us on the other side of the break. Stick around, and we'll be right back.
Thank you, Construction Professionals, for underwriting Man Up. Construction Professionals have been long supporters of Iowa Catholic Radio, and we've seen their work firsthand. It's very impressive. They do remodeling or new construction that is innovative, functional, and designing what you want. CPCustomHomes.com.
I want to thank McDonald Imaging Solutions. They are sponsors of Man Up. If you were at the State Fair this year, they were the ones who provided the new tents and the Pope on a Stick fans that we used. McDonald Imaging Solutions is a family business with thousands of promotional items to choose from. They do things from labeling to marketing, printing, and provide all kinds of promotional products. Marty will personally help any business, big or small, to build their brand with corporate apparel and promo items. McDonald Imaging Solutions. Building brands, attracting new customers online at McDonaldImagingSolutions.com.
Support for programming of Catholic Women Now partially provided by Farm Bureau agent Cindy Schulte. Cindy Schulte on the web at CindySchulte.com, 515-226-2111. Cindy and her team know health insurance.
Straight Talk with Gene Wells on Iowa Catholic Radio, Tuesday mornings at 10, and online at iowacatholicradio.com or on the Iowa Catholic Radio app.
R&R Realty helps you see the work of Jesus Christ through timely programs like Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio.
The Catholic Tuition Organization provides tuition assistance to qualified families so they can send their kids to our Catholic schools. Great tax benefits for donors and great education for our kids. Online, ctoiowa.org.
Are you struggling with drugs or alcohol? Have the same old programs led you to the same old places? Welcome to St. Gregory Recovery Center, the new standard for recovery. Don't let your addiction define you. It's time to get you excited about life again. For more information, on the phone, 888-724-3342.
Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. We are broadcasting from the Mercy Live Up Studios, heard on 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM. I am Joe Stopulis, and today I am joined by Father PJ McManus. He is the pastor at Christ the King Catholic Church in Des Moines. He's born and raised in Des Moines, went to Dowling, went to Loras, was a Dominican for 16 years, and is just a flat-out great dude. Welcome to the show, Father PJ.
Thank you, Joe.
That's a pretty good introduction.
It is a great introduction. I don't think you missed anything important.
Good, thank you.
Likes long walks on the beach.
See, I left that out. Now you added that. That's your own fault. All right, we are working back through the great men of the Bible, and we are into Joshua. So we're not entering the Promised Land. Today we're going to hopefully, knock on wood, be able to cover Joshua and Judges in a quick 20 minutes. We'll see how this works. I'll quick do an outline of the story, and then we can jump into the person of Joshua. So we just entered the Promised Land, and in the book of Joshua, the first chapter covers the transition of leadership to Joshua. Then the next 10 chapters, chapter 2 to chapter 12, is the entrance into and the conquest of Cana. And then we have like 11 chapters, just a division of the land. So they got to split the land amongst the tribes.
Right.
And then there's kind of Joshua's farewell address. So that's the book of Joshua in a nutshell. For our listeners, really the meat of it in my mind is kind of those that first 12 chapters. There's a lot of you might get lost a little bit on the division of the tribes. But all right, we're entering the Promised Land.
So, you know, I'd say even before the entry into the Promised Land, so Joshua, like many of the characters in the Old Testament, doesn't only show up in the book that bears his name.
Yes.
So Joshua is an important character throughout Exodus and Numbers. The whole Exodus story is really kind of the tee-up for Joshua's story, because Joshua succeeds Moses. Mm-hmm. And that's important for we who are Christians on several levels, the most important of which is, of course, Joshua's name. Is the same name as that of our Lord. So this name, Joshua, Yehoshua, Jesus, is the same name. Hosea, the prophet later. It's all the same name. Throughout history, Christians have altered the very have distinguished those names differently, just so that you can keep track of which guy is which one. But Joshua is important because of his name. And because of his relationship to Moses. So he's Moses' successor in leading the people, and he also bears the name that's going to become the name of the Savior. So as we Christians look back at the Old Testament, it's not simply about reading the story sort of as it is in the text. It is that. You start there. But it's reading it in light of this whole scope of salvation history, knowing that this man who bears this name, Yahweh Saves, is also the one who succeeds the mission of Moses, the liberator of the people, the giver of the law.
And the entrance into
the promised land.
Yeah. And we start right at the beginning when God commissions Joshua, at least in the book of Joshua, to your point. Mm-hmm. If you listened closely in the last few episodes, you did know that Joshua was in existence prior to this, which is good. We're learning something here. This is kind of repeated over and over again in God's commission to Joshua here in the first chapter. It says, "Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and very courageous, and good success will happen. Be strong and of good courage." It's in the Bible. I feel like it's pretty important if it happens over and over and over again. What are we to learn from this first commission from God?
So be strong and have courage is especially important for a character like Joshua, whose primary mission was really military, right? Mm-hmm. So he leads the people in what are essentially a succession of battles, which served to establish and then distribute the chosen people throughout the Promised Land. And so obviously, strength and courage are essential for battle. But it's also important that Joshua is not simply a military leader. He's not just like another dictator or somebody raising coups against the people who happen to already live in the Promised Land. But his direction of the people is rooted in his own experience of Yahweh. So he's on the mountain the first time Moses goes up. He's the closest anybody else gets to whatever the theophany is that Moses experiences, and is likewise there when Moses comes down the mountain and sees God's wrath on the people with the calf. Joshua has this deep inner experience of what it means to be God's, which is why he's the one who utters the famous line, "As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." I don't care what y'all do, but as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. So that he has courage, confidence, and strength as he enters into battle, and as he leads the people into battle, because he knows that they do not go alone.
So, as the first chapter is God's commission to Joshua, now they're heading to Jericho. So they've entered the Promised Land, and a lot of the book of Joshua is this, and you see this in Judges as well, but God wants to get rid of the old idols. God wants them to get rid of everything in this new Promised Land that was not of God, basically. Mm-hmm. So now it's just kind of interesting. This ward leader, when they get to the actual taking of Jericho, it's almost like a liturgy. Mm-hmm. It's not so much a all-out assault on Jericho. It's more of a procession of liturgy than anything else.
That's right. So you remember the song from Sunday school about the walls come a-tumbling down. But, of course, the walls only come a-tumbling down after what is essentially an extended procession around the city. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and as people have tried to work out what stomping the feet around and blowing the trumpets, whether it's vibrations, whatever, that's really missing the point. It's important, right, that the book of Joshua begins with the entry into the promised land, and that happens through the waters and through the waters of the Jordan. So the waters split again. We think of the waters splitting with Moses at the Red Sea, and they do, but the waters splitting for Joshua and the people at the Jordan is important. First, because it shows they're doing the same kind of thing Moses did, and second, because as they enter through the Jordan specifically, you know, a millennia and change later, it'll be Jesus who parts the waters of the Jordan at his baptism. And so for us, the people's entry into the promised land is really the first type of baptism. And Christ's descent into the Jordan is really our own entry into the promised land of heaven, which is why the procession, the liturgical character of the book of Joshua is so important.
So Joshua, they take over Jericho, and the rest of the book really is this conquest of these other neighboring lands who... God wants them to get rid of everything that is not of God. And if they don't, if they steal something or they leave any amount of it, God punishes them. So that happens over and over again. Really is God's way to us to say, we've got to be all in on God, right? I mean, so he doesn't want us to hold on to anything that used to be there in the promised land, which is exactly what happened. This is a kind of a repeat of the Exodus story where people are trying to hold on to Egypt and God's just trying to beat it out of their heads to not...
Right. Don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah. So, you know, so there's a dynamic that's at play all through the history of the chosen people. And I think because it's fundamentally at play in the life of every faithful Christian and faithful Jew by extension here, which is, there is no God but God. There's only one of these. And so there's only one who can command your first and best allegiance. And anything else that's infringing on that, encroaching on that, making that harder or impossible, you can't hold to. The problem that the peoples have, and this is, you know, the scriptures are riddled with this, right, is that it's not as though God is entirely absent these other peoples either. And so part of what's going on, you know, the reason God wants the chosen people to be there is because it is a good place. And so, this happens later during the exile when, you know, whole portions of the Old Testament wind up being basically collections of things that the people who conquered the Jews had, but in which they recognized the Spirit of God. Right. So the book of Proverbs, for instance, is mostly, you know, Egyptian wisdom literature that the Jews recognize as the same stuff as our stuff. Yep. And so that's salvageable. But what God's accenting here, because the people need it, especially at the beginning, because they're trying to make a hard break from where we were, is none of this will do. It all pales in comparison to what we have. And it's this constant hearkening back, right? Remember the wonders God did for you. Remember how he brought you out of Egypt. That was impossible. You believed it was impossible and it happened. If God can do that for you, trust him here and he'll do more and better still.
And that really comes out in this last exhortation from Joshua. And now we're in Joshua 23 towards the end of the book here. And just many times over and over, and this is Joshua 23:6. Therefore, be steadfast to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses further on. But cling to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day, for the Lord has driven out the great and strong nations. Further again, love the Lord your God. And then he gets to marriages, talks about basically if you make marriages with other nations, if you're if you're marrying in the Canaanites, any of these people who are not worshiping God, bad things will happen. So cling to the law of the land, cling to what God has told us, and basically for a full chapter tells the people, I'm going to be gone, and this is what you need to do.
Don't intermarry. Don't worship their gods. Don't eat their food. What he does at the end, right, really encapsulates why they're pressing on this. This isn't just like ancient Jewish racism. That's the way it reads to a lot of us today, but that's not what's happening. Just as every promise the Lord your God has made has come true for you, so he will bring upon you every threat, and so far as to exterminate you from the good land which the Lord has given you. The land's good. And even to an extent, the people who are there are good in as much as they're people. But what's happening is bad. And so for you to sanctify the land, for you to make it perfect and fulfill its destiny, you have to expunge everything that was before and let God do something altogether new.
Well, unfortunately, with time, we got to keep moving. But I think that is really a good summation of the book of Joshua which leads us into the book of Judges. And the book of Judges is one of my favorite books in the Bible because I feel like this is our story today, as you kind of mentioned. Mm-hmm. So there's 12 judges, and really they keep coming about in the same cycle. This is from the Jeff Cavins Bible here.
Sure.
Sin, and sin falls into servitude, servitude of sin, servitude of another nation. Then they have supplication, then they find salvation, and then they go quiet again, and then they start sinning again. And this happens 7 times, and God sends these judges to help them. And it's just kind of it's kind of funny. As you read the book of Judges, you'll see the line, and the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And that happens every single time one of these judges shows up.
Right.
And so just like us, we'll get clean, we'll go to confession, then we'll fall back into sin. And trying to avoid that falling back into sin is really what our call is today. But God continues to send these judges into their lives.
So I think it's important that name, Baal. We think when we read the Old Testament, we think of these proper names of the foreign gods as proper names, like Steve or Joe or Fred or something, right? But Baal, or sometimes it gets rendered as my Baal, literally means my beloved or my espoused. And so the idea is, and this is important for what happens as God reveals himself to the people, God is the only spouse for his people. You can't have two wives. You can't have two husbands. It don't work. And so you can't cling to what was if you hope to have any claim on the promise that's been made. If you want the promises of Yahweh, there's one way to live, and nothing else will do.
So in this book, there are a whole bunch of judges, and you might know from name a few of them. If you know your Bible, you might know. We'll mostly concentrate on Samson. I mean, so Gideon will be another one that's fairly famous. We'll go ahead and just go to Samson, which is how far in now? We're in Judges. The end of Judges 13 is when the birth of Samson takes place. And he's also he's covered the longest. There are some really minor judges that are like literally a few verses. So Samson's born. Why is Samson? Why did he become the major judge?
Well, I think.
By the way, I got to stop you. My confirmation name is Samson, so it's kind of a big deal.
Of course, it's a big deal, John. And when you start knocking stuff over, it's time to get a haircut.
The skinny 100-pound boy was the one who wanted to be Samson. I think I just had a little jealousy of Samson. I think is what happened. So.
I know something about this. I think the first bit right is that Samson is the child of promise, just like Samuel and ultimately like Christ. You have these prefigurements of people whose mothers appear not to be able to have children and then suddenly have children. And so Samson as being a child of promise is important. He's declared as a Nazarite right from birth, so he's never to drink booze. You're not supposed to cut his hair. This is still reflected in Eastern Christianity by their priests and monks not cutting their hair or beards, right? So there's this reflection, this memory that there's a way of setting apart or dedicating a person. And it ultimately, right, is a hearkening back to what's theoretically the most natural, our state in the garden. So we don't alter our bodies because the bodies are what God gave us the way that it is. Now, there's a way of doing this puritanically, which isn't the point of the text. But they're pointing to something in Samson. What Samson is meant to be, what he is destined to show, is what Israel can be if it's faithful. The problem is, of course, Samson, like the rest of Israel, not so faithful. And what gets him into trouble?
These darn women.
Girls, right? Girls are always problems, right? So and not just any woman, but a non-Jewish woman, right? So he doesn't marry a good Jewish girl, and that's what gets
him into trouble. Joshua's law or recommendation.
And see, so you have a judge who is competent, sort of professionally, we might say, but who's personally a mess. And his personal mess winds up overwhelming his professional competency. He fails to be what he's supposed to be. And so, of course, he falls for Delilah, and Delilah ultimately susses out the secret of his strength, and she cuts his hair, and he's blinded and enslaved until that fateful day at the feast when his hair is grown back out. And even though blinded, Samson now is able to destroy the Philistines unawares. But it's this same dynamic, which is important. It's a redemption story, right? It's an underdog story. It looks like he'd screwed things up beyond measure. And not only is Samson sort of saved personally, but he's redeemed. And even his sin winds up being redeemed, because there's no way he'd be where he was to destroy the Philistines were it not first for his fall.
So, I mean, there's a lot of parallels there, too, between, I mean, a lot of the stories in the Bible, but you think of David would be one that obviously comes to mind, of great men who had a lot of talent and then blew it. But this call to redemption, I think you talk about the sacrament of confession, and you look at Samson having everything going right and then clearly going off the rails, but then bringing himself back to God, and how important that is in our own lives. Other things from either Samson's life or the book of Judges that you think is important for our listeners as men living today to understand some of the truths that we can grab from these books?
You know, I think both in the story of Samson and in the story of Gideon, what you see are manly men, real men's men, and men who especially are prominent in battle, which for the time, you know, would be sort of like sports for us, right? But like their call to masculinity is very evident, right? But who fall into false notions of manhood, right? Mm-hmm. This sort of overzealous thing with women, and who stand the risk of losing everything. But what saves them both is ultimately, when the chips are down, they still cling to Yahweh. They still cling to the Lord, and the Lord is faithful even when his people are unfaithful. It's not like he just rewards you for good behavior. He doesn't stick with us because we're nice or because we crossed our fingers when we were unfaithful or something like that. He's faithful just because he's faithful, even when we're not.
There's another thing I think we have to mention. After the book of Judges comes the book of Ruth. And I think that this is the great men of the Bible series, but it'd be hard to not talk about Ruth. In A, she falls right into this period, so we're all in the same timeline here. But it's almost the inverse of everything that went wrong in Judges,
right,
where people were worshiping Baals and they were Samson was with Delilah, who was not an Israelite. Ruth, the opposite happens.
Right. So Ruth isn't a Jew by birth. That's the first and most important bit. It's precisely because she's not one of the chosen, but she's sort of the fruit of how this stuff works, right? Because she ultimately winds up marrying into a family that is. And she winds up redeemed by way of this family. So this is the sign that even from the beginning, you know, it isn't just Jewish racism, mm-hmm. It isn't just ancient, you know, tribalism or something like that. But that a faithful woman, wherever she's from, can be brought in. It's like Job, also not a Jew, right? But winds up being the great figure of ancient of God's providence in history.
And even more so than obviously becoming not just in the fold of Israel, but the godmother, grandmother, close to great grandmother of David, and then obviously into the line of Jesus.
That's right.
So when you read Matthew's genealogy, there's Ruth, who's not even an Israelite.
That's right.
And so I think this, and it's four chapters, guys. You can read a quick four chapters, but what you can do wherever you're at in your state in life. Everyone's got a call to holiness, and Ruth, here she comes from nowhere, and she's the pillar of all this bad stuff we just read and people screwing up. Here's this, I don't know, she's not Canaanite, is she? Anyway, here's a woman not from Israel who's obviously doing great things, and we can look to that example of anyone, any call they have. Ruth is a great example of how we can do that.
You know, I think one of the things that often happens, guys tend to tribalism naturally. We do it from Little League on, right? And so, and I think the story of Ruth helps temper that, right? So Ruth's not originally on our team. She's not from our family. She's from the wrong side of the tracks. And yet she becomes one of our great leaders herself and is responsible ultimately for the Savior.
Father PJ, thanks for joining us. We covered three books in 20 minutes.
Do I get a prize?
I don't know. I don't know. I'll check with the radio station, see how much cash we have to give you. All right. Stick around. We're going to head to a short break, and then we will finish up the conversation on, look at this, Joshua, Judges, and Ruth.
Thank you to Mercy College of Health Sciences, downtown Des Moines, for underwriting our show, The Uncommon Good, with me, Bo Bonner.
And I'm Bud Marr. A degree from Mercy College provides endless possibilities. Students have access to patients with complex medical conditions, state-of-the-art medical facilities, highly motivated healthcare professionals, and classroom professors that transform them into servant leaders.
You can start the programs in fall, spring, or summer. There are endless possibilities available online at mchs.edu/kwky.
When you donate to CTO, you're helping more and more families send their kids to Catholic school. That's great because more and more families qualify for tuition assistance every year. Your generosity makes a huge difference for thousands of families and kids who really need help. Plus, your donation qualifies you for great tax credits. Want to help? Please donate at ctoiowa.org. Let's do this for the kids and their future. My help comes from you. You're
right here pulling me through. You can't. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. My thanks again to Father PJ McManus. He also, by the way, has a podcast. Check his podcast out. His church, his homilies are usually broadcasted, so check his stuff out. The other takeaways I kind of want to reiterate here on Joshua and Judges, as we look at the themes from these two books, one of them really is God is faithful to his promises. God promised the people that he would bring them into the promised land. He promised them that he would relieve them of their enemies, and he does all those things when Israel is faithful. Obey God's word, stay in God's word. You know, we see over and over again in these stories how the Lord commands Joshua, he commands Moses, he commands the Israelite people to stay in his word. Obviously, he said, be strong and courageous, but have obedience to the Lord. Joshua 1:8 says, do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. We need to cling every day in prayer. Every day. I would say schedule it in the morning. That works best for me. Maybe it's different for you, but the earlier you got to get up to stay in the Word, to get up early or to read it at some point every day consistently. Otherwise, we don't know what we believe. We've got to stay true to God. And the best way to do that is to read the Bible every single day. A lot of great lessons from today's episode. And again, my thanks to Father PJ McManus. Thank you today for joining us on Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. I am Joe Stopulis. It's time to Man Up.
Man Up, inspiring men to live out their call to holiness with Joe Stopulis. Heard Mondays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Brought to you by Construction Professionals.
Man Up, also underwritten by McDonald Imaging Solutions.